Okay, Zev's here. We're ready. Okay, let's get started. This week's daf is Sukkah daf Hey. Again, the Bechina Be'ezus Hashem will be on Thursday morning, but easy, open book, 10 multiple choice questions, daf Dalet and Hey. Just to quickly review what we did last time, especially since we're going to need to remember this for this week. So on daf Dalet, Amud Aleph, we pointed out that if you have a very tall sukkah and you're trying to minimize the height of the sukkah by making the floor level higher, so if you bring in karam and ksasos, you bring in pillows and sheets and blankets and things like that, then it's not going to help. Those are just pillows and blankets and sheets that are in your sukkah. That does not become the new floor of the sukkah. Even if you're mevatel it there, batel daitoi tzel kol adam, it doesn't mean anything. If you personally are mevatel it there, other than that, you're not normal, but it does not change the status of the sukkah. If you put if you put teven or afar, you put straw or dirt on the floor to raise the level of the floor, and you are mevatel it there, so then it does become batel, and the floor level has in fact been raised. And we pointed out that stam afar and teven she'in osad lefenoso, if you just put dirt there and you have no plans for it whatsoever, you don't know if you're going to leave it there, not going to leave it there, or if you put straw there and you have no plans to remove it, but you didn't explicitly, weren't mevatel it, in those cases it's a machloka. So if you write down the list on the side of your Gemara, it'll be make it a lot easier to remember. So again, we went through the whole chart and the list last time. Second point we said on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph was that if you have a sukkah where that was taller than 20 amos, but some of the schach was dipping under 20 amos, so if the amount of schach that dipped under 20 amos alone would be enough to give you more shade than sunlight, then it's going to be kosher. So Abaye thought to say that the same should be true if you have a sukkah that's 10 tfachim tall and some of the schach dips below 10 tfachim, that as long as the amount of schach that dips below 10 tfachim is not enough to give you more shade than sunlight, on its own would give you more sunlight than shade, Abaye thought that would be kosher because it wouldn't count as anything and you would only view the schach that's above 10 tfachim as a legitimate schach. But Rava said, no, that's not true because of an important concept. And remember, what was the concept? Dira srucha, right? That there's a concept called dira srucha, and if you don't have 10 tfachim of height within which to live, that is not a living place at all. That is called a dira srucha. The third point we said is that we apply the concept of dofen akuma even when the walls themselves are more than 20 amos tall, and we'll even apply dofen akuma in multiple directions. So if you have a platform in the middle of your sukkah, like it's an island in the middle of the sukkah, and you need the walls to bend in on all sides, so we'll apply dofen akuma even from multiple sides. And then the fourth point on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, he said, if you have a sukkah that's lower than 10 tfachim and you try to dig the ground up so that you could reach 10 tfachim, so the hole that you dig has to be within 3 tfachim of the walls. It's not good enough to be within 4 amos of the walls. Like when you build a platform, as long as you're within 4 amos of the walls, that's okay. When you're digging a hole, it needs to be within 3 tfachim of the walls. Why the difference? Because when you're building a platform and you're trying to use giant walls, at least they're walls already. All you need to do is bend them over, is make them dofen akum. For that, 4 amos is sufficient. But when you're digging, the walls that exist prior to your digging are not even walls. They're 7-8 tefachim tall, they're not even walls. And therefore, in order to make them walls, it needs to be very close to the hole that you dig. And then we had 3 points on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. Point number 1, we had a machlokas Abaye and Rava, if it's necessary for a sukkah to have mechitzos hanikaros. Remember what was the definition of mechitzos hanikaros? Remember? Yeah. Recognizable walls. Yoshi points out that, if you were to be standing on a platform and there are no walls around you, but there's schach above you, do the walls of the platform that you're standing on count as walls? Now, they're not nicker from where you are. You don't see them. You don't recognize them from where you are. So is that good enough or not? That was a machlokas, Abaye and Rava. Then we mentioned that there's a mach...
Count as walls.
Right. Were the walls of the platform on which you're standing, do they count as walls or not? Then we pointed out there's a machlokas amoraim, whether the machlokas tanaim about four poles. Remember, there was a machlokas tanaim. If you put four poles up in four corners and then you just put schach on that, so the machlokas tanaim, whether that's kosher or not, there was a machlokas amoraim, what the case of the machlokas tanaim with the four poles exactly was. Was it a case of the middle of the roof? Or a case where the four poles were on the actual corners of the roof, and you're therefore using the sides of the building as your walls. The Gemara is not sure if the Amoraim disagree whether the Machlokas Tanaim applies to the end of the roof also. We're not sure exactly what the Machlokas Amoraim is either, but that's that was a little bit confusing, so we have that Gemara in the middle of Dalet Amud Beis. And then the last thing we said is even if the Machlokas Tanaim does apply to the ends of the roof, still, the Gemara tries to express it in a case of the middle of the roof, meaning even though this machlokas about the four poles applies to both when the four poles are on the end of the roof and when they're in the middle of the roof, the Gemara gives the case of the middle of the roof, lahodi'acha kochot Rabbi Yaakov, to let you know just how strongly Rabbi Yaakov holds his opinion, that even if the four poles are smack in the middle of the roof and you put the schach over it, Rabbi Yaakov still thinks that it's okay, he still thinks that it's kosher. Remember, that was the big chiddush of Rabbi Yaakov that went against everything we ever learned in kindergarten, that a sukkah does not actually need walls. He held that if you have the four poles, as long as the four poles were in the four corners of the sukkah, that that was going to be good enough, that was going to be kosher. Okay, we are now on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines before the end of the page, Dalet Amud Beis. Right, so what did we say? If it was, let me just see, I don't remember. Yes, so, right. So Rava says you need mechitzas anikaros, right? If you see about 8-9 lines into the page, Amalei Rava, ba'inan mechitzas anikaros v'laka, right? You need mechitzas anikaros. Abaye says mechitzas anikaros are not necessary. Okay, we're now holding 6 lines from the bottom of the page on Daf, Dalet Amud Beis, and this Daf Hey is easy in the sense that it's all about one topic. The entire Daf Hey is all about one topic. We're not going to be jumping. It sounds jumpy and choppy in the middle, but it's really all toward one goal. It's really all about one thing. What Daf Hey is about is when you have a sukkah that's less than 10 tefachim, we said that it's pasul. The Mishnah said that it's pasul. Daf Hey tries to figure out, where do we know that from? It doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah. Right? It doesn't say explicitly in the Torah, a sukkah less than 10 tefachim is pasul. We already discussed how we know a sukkah more than 20 amos is pasul. Right? We had a discussion about that already, but now we want to know, and we have 3 opinions in Daf Beis, right? Why that's so? Now we want to know, how do we know that a sukkah less than 10 tefachim is possible? Where do we get that from? That's what the entire daf is essentially about. So let's, and along the way, we're going to learn a lot of interesting things about the Aron in the Mishkan and in the Beis HaMikdash and about other interesting topics. So says the Gemara, v'sheinu gavah asar tefachim, if the sukkah that you are in is not 10 tefachim tall, the sukkah is possible. Asks the Gemara, the question of today's daf, of this week's daf, min nolan, how do you know that? Itmar, Rav Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chaviva, Masnu, Bekula, Seder Moed, Kolchi, Aizuga, Chalufi, Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'ili, Rabbi Yonasan. That there was a group of rabbis that learned. Rav, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rav Chaviva, they all learned the following. And then the Gemara just mentions that in all of Seder Moed, when you have this group of rabbis, we actually take out Rabbi Yochanan and substitute Rabbi Yonasan for Rabbi Yochanan. Apparently, in the Beis Medrash, where Rav and Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan learned together, when they got up to Seder Moed, Rabbi Yochanan wasn't there, and Rabbi Yonasan joined the Chabura. He joined the group that learned together. So whenever we have it in Seder Moed, this is a group that often learned together and that we always mention together as a group, as a unit. But Rabbi Yochanan wasn't around for Seder Moed. Rabbi Yonasan was the one who was around for Seder Moed. Of course, Maseches Sukkah is in Seder Moed, right? So since we're in Sukkah, we're discussing there 6 Sedarim and Mishnayos, right? This is in Seder Moed. So we mentioned Rabbi Yonasan. But either way, they say as follows. Aron Tisha, the Kaporas Tefach, Harei Kanasora. 10 Tefachim, you know where we get that from? The Aron in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, was 9 Tefachim tall. The Kaporas was 1 Tefach. Anyone know what the Kaporas is? Circle that word, Kaporas. Important. What? the covering of the aron, exactly the lid of the aron. So the aron was 9 tefachim tall. The lid on the aron, the kapores, was 1 tefach. Not to be confused with the paroches, right? Those are different things. The kapores, what? No, not to be confused with the paroches. Paroches is a curtain, like the paroches in front of our aron kodesh. In the Beis Hamikdash, they had a double paroches where they were able to walk through and separating the kodesh from the kodesh hakodashim, right, where the kohen walked in that ama area that was in between the kohen gadol and Yom Kippur, would go in through that double paroches. In fact, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where someone asked him if you can have a split paroches. I'm sure you've seen on many aron kodesh, it's not always one piece. Sometimes it's split. So Rav Moshe said, that's not the minhag, it's against the minhag Yisrael. The minhag is we always have one, we have a one-piece parochas. Yeah. So I asked Rav Shechter about that, and Rav Shechter said, it's such a strange tshuva, because in the Beis HaMikdash they had two, they had a double parochas. So, well, it's not the minhag Yisrael. Obviously it's a different parochas, it serves a different function. But anyway, we're not talking about the parochas, that's not what this is about. Now I'm going to confuse, the kaporis is the lid on the aron. The aron was a box. The kaporis was the lid on the aron. That's what we're talking about. Good? So, yeah. Wood laid with gold. Right. So, so aron tisha, it was the aron itself was 9 tefachim. The box itself where the luchos were kept and the Sefer Torah was kept and all the things we learned in the first paragraph of Basra, what was kept exactly in the aron. The shivrei luchos, perhaps, were also kept in the aron. The broken luchos, a bunch of stuff was kept in the aron. And on top, there was a lid. That was the kaporis. That was the tefach. Harei kanasarad, and that 9 plus 1, higher mathematics. You have a math test this week? No, 9 plus 1, there's good studying. 10, very good. Toru Mada, fantastic. Okay. Uksiv, and the Pasuk says, V'no'adati l'cha sham v'dibarti yitcha me'al ha-kapores. God says, I will come and I will greet you there and speak to you from on top of the kapores. Where does God speak to us from? On top of the kapores. What was on top of the kapores, by the way? The Kruvim. God's Shechina emanated from Mibein Shnei HaKruvim, from in between the two Kruvim. So God speaks to us from on top of the Kaporah. So where does God speak to us from? A ten tefach height. That's where God meets us. Vitanya, 1 second, we learn in Braisa. Rabbi Yossi Omer, May Olam Lo Yorda Shechina Lamata, V'lo Alu Moshe V'Elio Lamarom. The Shechina, I'm not sure what this means, it clearly doesn't mean purely physically, but the Shechina never goes lower than 10 tefachim off the ground, and Eliyahu and Moshe never go higher than 10 tefachim off the ground. I don't know if it means like a white man can't jump type of thing. Mistama, they do go, you know, they can fly in an airplane. They can fly. It's unclear exactly what it means, but on some spiritual level, somehow Eliyahu and Moshe never go above 10 tefachim, and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu never comes below 10 tefachim. Just to say, let's finish this point. Shenemar, how do we know that there's a specific spot where God goes and a specific spot where human beings go and they don't meet? Shenemar, Shamayim. The heavens, that's for God. The earth, that's for mankind. So, frak the Gemara v'lo yard the Shechina lamata. Really, the Shechina never went lower than 10 tefachim. V'aksiv, the pasuk says, v'yered Hashem al Har Sinai. That Hashem came down on Har Sinai. Doesn't that show that He came all the way down, even lower than 10 tefachim? Answers the Gemara, no, He came pretty far down, but l'malam me'asar tefachim. He stayed above 10 tefachim. Again, whatever that means. V'haksiv, but doesn't the pasuk say V'amdu raglav bayomahu al harazesim, that God's legs kavayachol stood on harazesim on that day? So doesn't that imply that it was below 10 tefachim? And Sigmara, no, it was pretty low, but l'malam me'asar tefachim, it was above 10 tefachim. Frak the Gemara, ask the Gemara a question. V'lo alu Moshe v'eliyo l'marom. Eliyahu and Moshe never went above 10 tefachim. Is that true? V'oksivu Moshe Allah El HaElokim. What does that mean? Moshe went up to God. Doesn't that mean above 10 tefachim? Answers the Gemara, no, he went pretty high, but Lamata Behasara. He kept it down below 10 tefachim. V'oksivu, I have another pasuk. V'ya'al Eliyahu Basara Shemayim. Eliyahu went up in these chariots of fire. We know how Eliyahu died. He didn't die. He went up in chariots of fire to Shemayim. So he went up. He went up to Shemayim. And so come up. Even though the chariots of fire were taking him straight up to heaven, lamata me'asara. It was still under 10 tefachim. Again, what does that mean? He's going up to heaven, 10 tefachim. This doesn't, whatever these 10 tefachim are, they're not actually We don't understand what they are. I don't understand what they are. Somebody might. But they're not actually physical ten tefachim that we would normally speak of. But still, we have this concept in whatever it is. We have this concept of ten tefachim being the borderline between Shemayim, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us. Once I just want to get through this point and then we'll take questions. Frak the Gemara Valksiv Ma'aches Pnei HaKisei Parshes Alav Anano, that the Pasuk says Ma'aches Pnei HaKisei, he grabs the face of the throne and he spreads out on him his clouds. Va'am Rabbi Tanchum says, what does that Pasuk mean? Melamed Shepire Shakai Miziv Shkinaso Va'anano Alav. It teaches you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of left his normal cloud of glory and he placed his glory, his cloud, on Moshe. So doesn't that imply that Moshe was way above? That Moshe was all the way up? Answer the Gemara. What's the Gemara going to answer? Lamatameh, sorry. No, he was pretty high up, but it was still below Tan Tvachan. Mikol makom ma'achis pnei kisei ksiv. But come on, if Moshe was grabbing the kisei, whose kisei do you think he was grabbing? It wasn't his own kisei, it was the kisei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So someone had to be in, you know, where they don't belong. If Moshe was holding on to the kisei, so either God was below 10 or Moshe was above 10. Answers the Gemara, no. Ishtarvu ve ishtarvu ve kisei ad asara v'nakadpe. God brought his kisei to right at the 10 tefach line, and that's where Moshe grabbed it. But no one ever went above or below 10 tefachim. So that's where we get this idea that 10 tefachim is the reshus that we need. It's a full-fledged reshus when something is 10 tefachim. That's the that's what the Gemara is trying to bring out over here. Yeah, now questions. I won't be able to answer most of them, but yeah.
10 tefachim above the actual 10 tefachim that's within our domain, or up in the Shemayim is 10 tefachim?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Like I said. Yeah. The pasuk doesn't say that. The Gemara is saying that. The Gemara says the pasuk says Moshe grabbed the kisei. So the Gemara says, well, how did he do that? So ishtarvu ve'ishtarvu means he made it available to him, like he brought it down right to the tent up barrier.
Two things. One,
the limit
is often the aron, but doesn't say that, like, the aron was like floating on the ground. Not like,
no, when they were traveling, the aron was noseus nosa. They carried those who carried it, meaning it didn't. It wasn't weight bearing. It didn't weigh anything for the people carrying it. And like when they needed to go over their midrashim to go over the water, right? It would fly over. But like when they kept it in the, yeah, I think it was sitting there. Yeah. No, the tenth tefachim is from the bottom of the aron to under the kruvin, to the top of the kaporis, the lid on top of the aron, the kruvin one on top of that. We're going to get to that, how the kruvin fit into this whole picture. Yeah, Tani.
First of all, why should Gemara doesn't realize that they're getting the same answer for each of these?
Gemara always does that.
Okay, and two, why don't they say they don't have to prove that it was less than 10 tefachim? Because they can say, oh, it's 10 tefachim, and I can say back, no, it wasn't.
I don't understand what you mean by that.
The answer to all these questions is, oh, it was less than 10 tefachim.
Right, because the psukim never give a number. The psukim just say, went up, went down, high, low, but never gives a number. So the Gemara could always get out of it by saying, yeah, it was high, but not that high, low, but not that low. I don't even know what the words mean. Meaning, right now, I'm more than 10 tefachim off the ground. My head is more than 10 tefachim off the ground. If I stand on this table, my feet will be more than 10 tefachim off the ground. Well, close, but you know, I don't know what it even means. I'm not sure, but whatever it is, somehow we're deriving from the height of the aron and the kaporas that there is a significance to something that's ten tefachim. Not just the significance, but that's a reshus. That's a separate domain, and the sukkah has to be a reshus. It has to be a domain, and therefore the height of a reshus is a minimum of ten tefachim. So, main point number one, daf hey amud aleph, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu never goes below 10 tefachim. Moshe and Eliyahu never go above 10 tefachim. The Aron, yeah, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never goes below 10 tefachim. Moshe and Eliyahu never go above 10 tefachim. The Aron and Kaporis were 10 tefachim. And when Moshe grabbed the throne, it's because it was at the 10 tefachim mark. Again, there's got to be, for people who are more into the Kabbalistic side of things, I'm sure there's a lot over here to study. I'm still 7 years away. I'm only 33. I'll start pounding it in 7 years. I'll get that Kabbalah. And then I'm going to come floating into school. What? Yeah, the Aron. I'm sorry, I'm getting carried away here. The no pun intended. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never goes below ten tefachim. The Moshe and Eliyahu never go above ten tefachim. The Aron was ten tefachim high, and when Moshe grabbed the throne, it was brought right within the ten tefachim, right at the ten tefachim barrier. Yeah, I put that all as one main point. I didn't know what was main and what was sides. So I just say everything. Okay. Now, back in the Gemara, we're about 12, 15 lines in on Daf Hey Amud Aleph. So it says the Gemara, Bishlama Aron Tisha. So we stated as a fact to begin this discussion that the Aron is 9 tefachim tall and the Kaporos is a tefach. Where does it say that? How do we know that that's true? We make it as a statement of fact, but do we know that? So says the Gemara, Bishlama Aron Tisha, Dechsiv, Vaasu Aron, Atsei Shitim, Amasai Vechetzi Arko, Vama Vechetzi Rachbo, Vama Vechetzi Komaso. End quote. That's all the pasuk. I understand the Aron is 9 tefachim tall. We know that because it says beferish in the pasuk that the Aron was made out of Shitim wood, 2.5 amos long, 1.5 amos wide, 1.5 amos tall. And how much is 1.5 amos? 9 tefachim. So the fact that the Aron is 9 tefachim is very well documented. An amma equals 6 tefachim. And therefore, again, we're going to practice mathematics. 1.5 amos equals 9 tefachim. Right? If an amma is 6 tefachim, 6 times 1.5 is 9, right? So that makes plenty of sense. Well, that's explicit in the pasuk. El kaporas tefach minalan. Problem is, the Chumash never tells us how big the kaporas was, how thick the kaporas was. We just assumed it's a tefach. What gave us the right to assume that the kaporas was a tefach? So says the Gemara, the Tani Rabbi Chanina, because Rabbi Chanina taught, Kol akelim sha'asa Moshe, nasna behen Torah midas arkon, midas rachman, midas kamasan. All the kelim that Moshe Rabbeinu made, the Torah tells us their precise measurements. It tells us how long they were, how wide they were, and kamasan. What's kamasan? How tall? No, arkon is length, rachman is width, kamasan how tall they were. Three-dimensional units, right, these kelim. Kapores, midas orcha umidas rachba nitna, but the kaporis is interesting. Tells us how long it was, tells us how wide it was, but you know what it leaves out? Midas kamasa lo nitna. The Torah never mentions how tall the kaporis is. So how do we know that it's a tefach? So the Gemara says the way we figure it out is the following. Seyu laman mipacho shebekelim. We go and we try to learn it out from whatever the smallest kli in the entire Mishkan was, and we say, okay, whatever the smallest one is, that's how tall the kaporis must be. Shenemar, what's the smallest kli? Pasuk says, Vasislo misgeres tefach saviv, that we make for it a misgeret tefach, that is exactly one tefach, saviv. Right? That's what the pasuk says. So the smallest known kli in the Mishkan is one tefach. Where is this misgeret? So this is not on the Aron at all. This is on the, not the Mizbeach either, the Shulchan. It was a misgeret around the Shulchan. The Shulchan, you know what the Shulchan looks like, roughly? Shulchan had how many slots to fit things? 12, right? Because it was 6 high, 2 across. What would they put on the Shulchan? The showbreads, the lechem apanim, right? The fancy breads that were impossible to make. So that was the Shulchan, yeah. As opposed to the largest or any other ones. Good, we'll get to it. So says the Gemara, Mala halan tefach, afkan tefach. So just like the miskeret of the Shulchan, now what's a miskeret? It's like a rim or a ledge. It's right, meaning it's some type of adornment of the Shulchan. It's not the actual functional part of the Shulchan, right? But nevertheless, we say, since that's the smallest measurement given in the Torah for anything in the Mishkan, so it must be that the Kaporis is supposed to be learned from there, and the height of the Kaporis is therefore how much? One tefach, right? Just like the Miskeret. So says Gemara, V'nelef mikelim gufayhu. Why don't we learn it from the kelim themselves? Why are we learning from the misgeres of the kelim? Wouldn't we end up with a much bigger mida, a much bigger measurement, if we were actually looking at the smallest kli, the smallest actual kli, not just the part of a kli? So, okay, that's the next line, says the Gemara, and circle this, it was asked already also, but circle this phrase, Tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta muat tafasta. Very important phrase. Tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta muat tafasta. Any of you ever heard that? Yeah? Right. Don't bite off more than you could chew. Whenever you try to grab more than lo tafasta, you're not going to end up grabbing anything. Tafasta muat. If you take off a small piece, so then you're going to get what you're going to end up with something. That's an expression. It means to say that whenever we're supposed to derive anything from something else, we always go with the minimal derivation. You always go with the smallest number. You never assume the largest number. Right? That's tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta meruba tafasta. So when we need to know the height of a kaporis where the Torah never tells us the height, what do we look for? The smallest thing, not the largest thing, or not anything in between. Tafasta meruba, we look for the smallest thing in the Mishkan to serve as the model. Yeah. Because it's not really one of the kelim, meaning we refer to it as one of the kelim, but it's really only a part of a kli. Meaning that was just the Gemara was saying a shigra delishna is just like an expression, but then we asked.
What do we look for the small size? It says we look for the small size of the Mishkan for the major.
Of the kaporis, right? Of the kaporis. So says the Gemara, well, I'll tell you what, if you want the smallest thing in the Mishkan, there is something smaller than the Miskeres. Ask the Gemara, Venelef, me, what's next? What's that? Tzitz, what's the tzitz? The crown that's going to the war, that was smaller than a tefach in height. Why don't we learn from the tzitz? You could circle that word tzitz, is an important thing to know what it is. Titania, because we have a brisa. Tzitz domek mintas shel zahav. The tzitz was like a golden plate. In fact, it was so much like a golden plate, it was a golden plate, right? The rachav beiz etzbaos, and it was two etzbaos wide. How wide is an etzba? Thumb. The thickness of your thumb. So two etzbaos, much less than a tefach. How many etzbaos make up one tefach? What would you guess? A tefach is this. How many? The thumb is the fattest finger. Your other fingers are thinner than your thumb. So the assumption is four etzbaos make up one tefach, right? So if you want to look for the smallest thing in the Mishkan, don't look at the thing that was a tefach. Look at the thing that was a half a tefach. The tzitz. It was only two etzbaos. Umukaf me ozen la ozen. It would extend from ear to ear of the Kohen Gadol. Vikasaval of Beis Shitin, and there were two lines of writing on it. Meaning it wasn't just written across, there were actually two lines of writing on it. Yud He Milamala. On the top line it had the letters Yud and He. Vikodesh Lamid Lamata. And on the bottom line it had Kodesh, the word Kodesh, and then a Lamed, as if it was beginning a new word. So the way it would read, it was a little bit strange. On the bottom line, on the right side, it said Kodesh Le, and then you go to the top on the left, Hashem. Right? So it was Kodesh Le, Hashem. But you would read it up, going from right to left. So that's what the tzitz looked like. Va'amar Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi says, Ani Re'isif Beromi, I saw in Rome, Vikasav alav kodesh l'Hashem b'shita achas. So guess what? You could say all you want that it was on two lines. I was in the Vatican. I saw it in Rome. And it was on one line, all on one line, kodesh l'Hashem. Said it all on one line. So, who knows? Who knows what they have? So, anyway, so it says, done and clear. They don't show anybody everything they have. They have a lot. They definitely have a lot. So he said, done and clear me kli, ve'in done and clear me takshit. So, again, question marks after the word achas, before the word done in. The question that we're asking is not really about who went to Rome, and we don't really care so much about that for our purposes. What do we care about? Why don't we learn that the kaporis was not a tefach, but a half a tefach? From the tzitz, that the tzitz was a half a tefach, so the kaporis maybe was a half a tefach. Answers the Gemara, done in kli mi kli vein, done in kli mi tachshit. You're going to learn a kli out, the kaporis is a kli, you're going to learn out from another kli, like the mascaras of the shulchan. The tzitz was jewelry, it wasn't a kli. So you're not going to derive the measurements of a kli from the measurements of a tachshit, of a piece of jewelry. Yeah. Oh, good, good, good. So we'll get to that in a second. So I asked the Gemara, "V'nelef mizer, dabar mar zer mashuhu." Why don't we learn from the zer? Because the zer itself was a mashu. The zer was also like a crown around the aron or around the mizbeach. Right? They had like this little crown-like lining, like a ledge. There's a word for it, like a molding almost, like on the side. So why don't we learn from that? Because that only has to be a mashahu. So we say, dun and kli mikli, vein dun and kli mehechsher kli. We learn out the measurements of a kli from the measurements of another kli, not from a hechsher kli. What do you think a hechsher kli is? Something that like aids a kli, but it's not really the kli itself. So frek the Gemara, wait a second. Frek the Gemara, ihachi, miskeres nami, hechsher kli hu. Exactly, your kasha. Miskeres is also not a kli. It's a hechsher kli that's on the shulchan, but it doesn't actually function as anything. Answers Gemara, miskarta lamata isa. No, it does function, because it actually goes along the bottom of the shulchan, and therefore the lowest level of the shulchan, the lowest tray of the shulchan, rested on the miskeres. And since it rested on the miskeres, it was not purely decorational, it actually was functional. So therefore counts as a kli. Says the Gemara, that's really great if you actually hold that it was on the bottom and served to bear the weight of the lowest shelf. What's the kasha? But if you hold, if you're of the opinion that the miskeres was really where? On the top of the shulchan, then it's high hechsher kli. Then what are you going to say? It's just a hechsher kli. Then it's not a kli. So why would you learn from the miskeres? So says the Gemara, Ella rather, done in davar shenitna bo Torah mida, midavar shenitna bo Torah mida. Why do we learn from the miskeres and not from the tzitz and not from the zer? Because the miskeres, the Torah at least gives us a measurement for it. The Torah tells us it's a tefach. We can only learn out the measurements of the kapores, not from another kli, but from something that the Torah at least tells us the measurement of. The miskeres, the Torah gives us the measurement of. Va'al yochichu tzitz, don't bring me the tzitz, v'zer, or the zer, shlonit ben Torah mita klal, where the Torah never told me the measurements of those items. We know that the tzitz was two etzba'os, and the zer was a mashu. Torah never told us those measurements explicitly. So it has nothing to do with learning kli from kli. You can learn kli from anything. You can learn the size of the kaparas from any other thing in the Mishkan, as long as what? What's the only qualification it has to have? As long as the Torah gave us the measurement. So one second, main point number two. We know that the kaparis is a tefach from? From where? From the what?
Shulchan.
The miskeres of the shulchan. Not from the tzitz, which was a tachshit, nor from the zer, which is a hechsher kli, because neither of those measurements are explicit in the Torah. We learn that a kaparis is a tefach, the kaparis was a tefach from the miskeres, not from the tzitz, which by the way, in parentheses, is a tachshit, nor from the zer, parentheses, which is a hechsher kli, because both the tzitz and the zer, neither the tzitz nor the zer, have a measurement mentioned in the Torah. That's why they're out. Good, that is point two on Hayamadal. We're good? Says the Gemara Vayter. Rav Huna may have a question?
Translates
Ella Dun Dabashi Mida. We derive,
shouldn't it say lower mesa
Torah? No, the Torah did give a Mida for the Kaporas, just didn't give the height Mida. It gave the length and the width. So when we're trying to figure out the missing midah, and it's an item that there is a measurement given, it's a good point, right? So we derive it from something else that the Torah gave us measurements on. Good question.
First one, we have all the measurements.
Exactly. Excellent, yeah. By the way, your middle name is Ephraim? Shmuel Ephraim? That's like beyond confusing, just by the way. I know. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Ephraim Fishel and Shmuel Ephraim. It's like, I didn't know, like, I saw yours first, and I'm like, I have no idea which kid this is. Shmuel Ephraim. For all I know, you're both Shmuel Ephraim. Yeah, anyway.
Is a mashu not considered a measurement? They want, like, an
exact. Right. A mashu is not a measurement, right. Right. Yeah.
Are, like, the jewels for the. Are there measurements?
I don't think so. In the Torah? Not in the Chumash. I don't think so. Maybe Torah Shebal Peh, not in the Chumash Barak.
What's the difference
between a Tachshit and a Tachshit? Sounds like something that's an excellent question. I think Tachshit sounds like something a person would wear. Jewelry that a person would wear, like the tzitz. Hechsher Kli is something that decorates the Kli. Can you hear? No, the tzitz was a half a tefach, was two etzbaos, and the zera is a mashahu. It's a mashahu. Okay, back in the Gemara. Two lines from the bottom. Rav Huna Amar Me'achor. Rav Huna says, we learn it from here. We learn what from here? That the kaporis was a tefach from the following. Al p'ner kaporis kedma. And again, why do we care how big the kaporis was? This is all about trying to figure out that a sukkah is 10 tefachim from the fact that the aron plus the kaporis is 10 tefachim. So how do we know the kaporis is a tefach? Al p'ner kaporis kedma. The pasuk says, al p'ner kaporis. What does p'ner normally mean? Face. The face of the kaporis. Ve'in panim pachs mitefach. A face is always at least a tefach. Ve'ema ka'ape de bar yuchni, says the Gemara, wait a second, maybe it's talking about the face of the bar yuchni bird. And the bar yuchni bird, the Rashi quotes from a Gemara in Bechoros, was such a large bird that it once laid an egg and it drowned out with the egg 60 cities and it broke 300 cedar trees. So it's a large bird. It's a very large bird, right? It's like a New York City pigeon, right? It's a very large bird with some attitude. So maybe it's a bar yuchni bird which is much larger than a tefach. So answers the Gemara. What's the Gemara going to answer? Why would you learn from the face of the bar yuchni bird? Tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta mua tafasta. You always try to get the smallest. And the smallest face on earth is a tefach. You never have anything smaller than a tefach. Ask the Gemara, except all the creatures that do have a face smaller than a tefach. Right? What do you... Ve'ima, like every other bird, ve'ima ka'api tziparta dezuta tuva. What about the face of the tziparta bird, which is way smaller? Now he doesn't really get it from the fact that there's no such thing as a face smaller than a tefach. That's not really true. He learns the Gezeres Shavah, the word pnei, pnei. Where do we see the word pnei come up? Ksivach al pnei hakaporas. It says over here by the kaporas, the pnei hakaporas. Uksiv hasam me'es pnei Yitzchak aviv. The panim of Yitzchak. And a human face is never smaller than a tefach. So says the Gemara, "V'neilif mi panim shalmala d'chsiv kiros pnei elokim v'tirtzani." It also uses the word pnei when it describes the face of God. So shouldn't it have to be as large as the face of God? So the Gemara is going to answer, "Tafasta meruba lo tafasta tafasta muat tafasta." No, go with the smallest thing you can learn out. So if the word pnei appears in other contexts, we want the smallest context, and that is the face of Yitzchak. Asks the Gemara, "V'nelef mikruv? Why don't you learn from the face of the kruv? What's a kruv? The kruvim, right? The images of the kruv that were on top of the aron. Dichsiv, because it says, 'Alakaporis you.' What's the next word? Pnei hakruvim. The kruvim are referred to by pnei. So the word pnei appears by kruvim also, and the faces of the kruvim were probably smaller than a tefach, right? So answers the Gemara, who told you they were smaller than a tefach? Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Gemiri, ein pnei kruvin, p'chusin mitefach. The faces of the kruvin were not less than a tefach. Rav Huna nami, mehacha gomir. And maybe that is in fact where Rav Huna learned it from, that the kaporis was a tefach. Maybe he did learn it, not from Yitzchak, maybe he learned it from the kruvin, that the kruvin had to be a tefach. So it says the word pnei by the kruvin, say nochinami, that's where he gets it from. Main point number one, the kaporis, the fact that the kaporis is a tefach is derived from the word pnei, which is also used by the kruvim. Not learned from bigger faces like God's face, because why isn't it learned from God's face, which is a much bigger tefach mover, right? Yeah, it's very unclear. This whole Gemara is like that. It's unclear exactly what this means. Yeah, the kaporis is a tefach. The fact that kaporis is a tefach is learnt from the word pnei that's used by the kruvim. And we know the face of the kruvim was one tefach.
But if a kruv is a tefach, then a kaporis has to be at least a tefach.
Right, so that's what we're saying. We learn that the kaporis is a tefach from the kruvim. From the face of the kruvim. The face
is on the kaporis.
No, the face of the... No, but it's a separate entity. It's not viewed... We're talking about the thickness of the rim itself. So, says the Gemara, Umay Kruv. What is a Kruv? Amar Rav Kiravya. Kruv, the etymology of the word kruv, is kiravya. It's like a baby, meaning it's a baby face. Shekein b'bavel, because you know in Bavel, currently Yanuka Ravya, they call children Ravya. So that's a raya that kruv means kiravya, that it's like a baby. Amar Le Abayis, Abayis is elmiata, d'chsiv, p'neya echad, p'neya kruv, p'neya sheni, p'neya adam, hainu kruv, hainu adam. The pasuk when it describes God's throne talks about the four faces, and it says that one of the faces was the face of a kruv, and one was the face of a human being, of an adam. So the Gemara says, wait a second, if a person's face is one tefach, we know from Yitzchak, and a kruv's face is one tefach, and a kruv means a baby face, guess what? A baby is a person too. So isn't a kruv and a baby, isn't that the same thing? How can you say there are two different faces? One baby face, one human face. What do you mean? It's all the same. Answers the Gemara, api rav ravi api zutri. A baby is a human being, but a little human being. So you can tell the difference between a baby face and a regular person's face, and an adult face. So when it describes the two faces up on the throne, by the way, which face was up on, which human being got his picture up on the throne?
Yaakov
Avinu, right? That was the tzura of Yaakov Avinu. Rashi and Chumash tells us. So, okay. So ask the Gemara. Okay, but main point number two. Main point number two is, kruv means a baby face. And we know that from the fact that in Bavel they called a baby a ravya. So kruv means a baby face, because in Bavel they called a baby a ravya. Now, so all of this was the first answer to the Gemara's question of how do we know that a sukkah, no, has to be at least 10 tefachim, because we said you take the Aron and the Kaparas together, that's 10 tefachim, and that's the limit of where God is going to come down to and where human beings can go up until. Ask the Gemara. Donnie, you have a question? The surface, the outer surface. Right. But the word, the Gzeres Shavas work like that. As long as the word is used in a couple of places, and we have a Mesorah that these words are supposed to be connected to each other, Gzeres Shavas, that's why we can't make Gzeres Shavas on our own. We can't say, oh, the word Vayomer appears here and it appears there, so every time it says Vayomer is connected. Then we'd end up with a very different looking set of halachas. So it has to, we had a Mesorah that these words, Pinei, are connected to each other. Yeah.
Wait, so did we say that it's a baby face and that's less than one?
It's one tefach. The kruvim themselves, which were the baby face, were still a tefach. Okay, ask the Gemara. So wait a second. We're learning from the Aron and the Kaparis that it's got to be ten. That sukkah's got to be ten tefachim. Umi may de chalala asara bar mischacha. Ema bahade ischacha. How do you know that the sukkah? Which part of the sukkah has to be ten tefachim? The open airspace under the schach has to be 10 tefachim, but if we're learning from the Aron and the Kaparis, the top of the schach should have to be within 10 tefachim. Right? Meaning you should count the thickness of the schach into your 10 tefachim. Let's say your schach is 1 tefach thick. You have 9 tefachim of airspace, then 1 tefach of schach. If we're really, really learning from the Aron, that should be fine. Who told you that you need 10 tefachim of airspace in your sukkah? Ella, so says Mark, okay, scratch that. We're going to learn from somewhere else. Elami Beso Lamim Gamar. The 10 tefachim we learn from the Beis HaMikdash. Tichsiv Abayus HaSharbana HaMelech Shlomo LaHashem Shishim Amma Arko V'Esr Machbo Shloshim Amma Kumaso. And all of a sudden the numbers get a lot bigger. We learn from the Beis HaMikdash, and how big was the Beis HaMikdash? 60 amos long, 20 amos wide, 30 amos tall. Uksiv, and it also says Komas HaKruv HaEchad Eser Ba'amma V'Chein HaKruv HaSheni. The height of the kruvim, Shlomo HaMelech built giant kruvim. It wasn't the same in Shlomo HaMelech's Beis HaMikdash as it was in the Mishkan. Shlomo HaMelech built enormous kruvim. They were 10 tefachim tall. How tall was the entire Beis HaMikdash? I'm sorry, 10 amos tall. How tall is the entire Beis HaMikdash? Shloshim amma kamaso, 30 amos tall. So the top of the kruvim was on one third of the height of the Beis HaMikdash. Vitanya, and we have a brisa that says as follows, Mematzinu bebeis olamim kruvim bishlish habayis en omdin. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash, the height of the kruvim was what? One third of the whole height of the Beis HaMikdash. Mishkanami, by the Mishkan also, kruvim bishlish habayis en omdin. The kruvim were one third of the height of the Mishkan. Mishkan was a lot shorter. So how tall was the Mishkan? Mishkan Kamahavi. How tall was the Mishkan? Eser Amos. The Mishkan was 10 Amos. How do we know that? Tziv, the Pasuk says, Eser Amos Orecha Keresh. The boards that they used for the Mishkan walls were 10 Amos tall. So that's pretty clear. The Mishkan was 10 Amos tall. Kamahavi Luhu. How much is 10 Amos when expressed in terms of Tfachim? Mathematics now. How much is 10 Amos when expressed in terms of Tfachim? Shisin Pushchi. 60 Tfachim. Why? Because each Amma is 6 Tfachim. So 10 Amos is 60 Tfachim. Now let's think. The top of the Kruvim in the Mishkan was at the one-third of the height of the entire Mishkan, which means the top of the Kruvim in the Mishkan was how many Tfachim off the ground? 20. Right? If the whole height of the Mishkan was 60, the top of the Kruvim was 20. Huh? Oh, it's, don't worry, it's not on the... It can't hear that well. Okay, so answers the Gemara. Tilsei kamahavi, as from Pushchi. One-third of the height of the Mishkan is how much? 20 tefachim. How tall... Now, the Kruvim in the Mishkan were standing where? On top of the Kaporas, which was on the Aron. So that means their feet were where? The bottom of the Kruvim were how high up? 10 tefachim. So the Kruvim themselves, their wings, the top of their wings was from their feet. How high? 10 tefachim, because if they were at the top of their wings were 20 tefachim off the ground, and they started 10 tefachim off the ground on top of the kapores, so the kruvim were hovering over a 10 tefach area. Their wings were hovering over a 10 tefach area. Dal asara da aron v'kapores. Take away the 10 tefachim of the aron and the kapores. Pashaluhu asara, and you're left with 10 tefachim was the height of the kruvim. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, here's a key pasuk. Vahayu akruvim porsik nafayim lamala. Their wings were spread out above. The top of the kruvim were not their heads, it was their wings. Sochachim, sochachim. Why is that a key word? Schach. Sochachim bekanfayim ala kapores. Making a schach with their wings over the kapores. Meaning the kruvim were like this, their wings covering over a schach over the kapores. They were by, and how high off the kaporas wore their wings? 10 tefachim. Right? Sochachim al kaporas. Where are we? Yeah, bekanfayim al kaporas. Karya rachmana schacha. Lamala me'asara. The Torah calls it a schach. And you see that it's 10 tefachim. So that's how we see that it's 10 tefachim of airspace, because the kruvim's wings made a schach with 10 tefachim of space between the wings and the kaporas. Yeah. Yeah, but we're not. Now we're saying that there were sochim ala kapores on the top of the kapores. So we're starting from the top of the kapores. So again, so far we've had how many explanations of where we know the sukkah needs to be 10 tefachim? Two. Number one, we thought it was from the aron and the kapores itself. We scratched that, because then the top of the schach should have to only be within 10 tefachim. So rather, what are we saying? Now it's from the kruvim. From the height of the kruvim above the kapores. Ask the Gemara, Mimaidikad finu ilavi reshayu kaimi, tilmala hadi reshayu kaimi. How do you know that their wings were actually above their heads, and therefore the bottom of their wings were 10 tefachim off of the kapores? Maybe their wings were even with their heads, and it was the top of their wings that were 10 tefachim off of the kapores. And then you're going to have the same problem you had with what? Same problem you had with the arun and the kapores. What was the problem you had? That maybe the top of the schach only needs to be within 10 tefachim. How do you know that the kruvim's wings were above their heads, and therefore you have 10 tefachim of airspace under their wings? Maybe their wings were even with their heads, and you don't have 10 tefachim of airspace under their wings, right? What?
Didn't we say it was 20 amos, though?
That was in the Beis Hamikdash. We're talking in the Mishkan, that it was 20 tefachim, yeah.
So then, aren't that 20 tefachim, not 10?
Yeah, it's 20, no, it's 10 tefachim from the top of the kaporas, 20 tefachim in total from the floor, right? So Amar Avacha Bar Yaakov Lemalaksiv. It says Lemala. It says that their wings were above. That's how you know that they were above, because it says it in the pasuk. Ask the Gemara Ve'ema Demidli Tuva. Well, above. How do you know above means right above? Maybe their heads were 10 tefachim off of the kaporas, and their wings were way up here. You know, 5 tefachim above their heads, 20 tefachim above their heads, who knows? Their wings could have been way higher. In which case, the schach that their wings were making was way more than 10 tefachim. Says the Gemara, Miksiv Lamala Lamala? It doesn't say way above. Lamala Lamala? It says Lamala. So it must be right above. that the wings were just above that the 10 tefachim barrier. Good. So basically, that's the second limud of how we know a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim, from the fact that the kruvim's wings hovered 10 tefachim over what? Be clear on this. Over what? The kaporis. 10 tefachim over the kaporis. Not over the ground, over the kaporis. Kaporis itself was 10 tefachim off the ground. The kruvim's wings were 10 tefachim over the kaporis. Where? In the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash? In the Mishkan, right? So says the Gemara, Hani Chal Rav Meir, this whole cheshbon we just had, all of this discussion, works really well according to Rav Meir, Da Amar Kol HaAmos Hayu Beinonios, who assumes that all the Amos that we're talking about were six tefach Amos. Not every time that the Torah uses the word Amma does everybody agree that it means six tefachim. And that's really going to mess up our whole cheshbon. Elo Rabbi Yehuda, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar, Amma shel binyan shisha tefachim. Rabbi Yehuda has a really confusing system. He says that any time the Gemara, the Chumash, mentions Amos in regards to the physical structure of the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan, those are six tefach Amos. But v'shel kelim chamisha. But any time it mentions the word Amma in regards in describing the measurements of a kli, like what? What's a kli? Like the Aron, the Shulchan, the Kaporas, any of the Kruvim, any of that stuff? Those are five Tefach Amos. Whoa, if that's the case, Ma'ika Lememar, that messes up our whole Cheshbon. Why does it mess up our whole Cheshbon? Because if we say that the Beis HaMikdash was 30 amos tall, how many tefachim is 30 amos in binyan, in structure? 30 times 6? 180. We say that the kruvim were 10 amos off the ground in the Beis HaMikdash, but that's kelim amos. How many tefachim is that? 50. 10 times 5 is 50, so that's 50 tefachim off the ground. 50 out of 180 is not one-third. It's not one-third of the height. It's going to mess everything up. All of the cheshbonos that we made from beginning to end are all messed up if you hold a different system of amos. So says the Gemara, let's analyze it. Aron v'kaporis kamahavi. So how tall was the Aron? Let's go back to square one. Aron, the Chumash tells us, was how much? 1.5 amos, it says, right? Now, if the Amma that we're speaking of is only 5 tefachim, so nu, how tall is the Aron? 5, 1.5 times 5 is 7.5. Plus the kaporos we know was a tefach. How do we know the kaporos was a tefach? We learned that from the kruvim, from the face of the kruvim, p'nei. So 7.5 plus 1 equals 8.5. So the top of the kaporos was actually 8.5 tefachim off the ground. Kama havilu, how much is it going to be? T'manya upalga, 8.5. Pashlu chadstre upalga, which means that from the top of the kruvim, which is supposed to be 20 tefachim off the ground, to the top of the kaporis, which is only 8.5 tefachim off the ground, is how much space? 20 minus 8.5?
11.5.
So the schach should have to be 11.5 tefachim. Eimos sukkah adav yichad shrei palga. So maybe according to that lima now, sukkah should have to be 11.5 tefachim. Take this daf, rip it out of the Gemara, throw it, it was all a waste.
Wow.
According to our mayor, it was all for naught. According to Abiyud, it was fine. But according to our mayor, we're in trouble. So says the Gemara, Ella the Rabbi Yehuda. You know where Rabbi Yehuda knows that a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim tall? Not from Kruvim, not from... I said it backwards?
Yeah.
I said it backwards?
You just said that Rabbi Meir was fine. Rabbi Yehuda's not fine.
Rabbi Yehuda's not fine, right. According to Rabbi Meir, it's fine. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we're in trouble. So says the Gemara, no, you know how Rabbi Yehuda learns that a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim? Our third possible limud, and this is the easiest one, Ella Rabbi Yehuda, key words, key phrase, Hilchisa Gimirila. What does Hilchisa Gemirila mean? Halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Because God told it to Moses. That's how we know that a sukkah is 10 tefachim tall. That it can't be less than 10 tefachim tall. D'amar Rav Chiya Barashi Amarav, because Rav Chiya Barashi said in the name of Rav, Shiurin, Chatzitzin, Umechitzin, Halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Period. Anytime you have a shear, a kezias of this, any numbers, any amounts in the Torah, or anytime you have a law of chatzitza, what's a law of chatzitza? What does chatzitza mean? That if something is, if someone goes in the mikveh and they have something that's separating between their body and the water, that's a law of chatzitza. Or any halacha about mechitza, about a wall, like a sukkah or an eruv or anything like that, are all halacha l'Moshe Misinai. The walls of a sukkah need to be 10 tefachim tall. How do I know? Halacha Lemosha Misinai. Main point number three. The ten tefachim, the fact that ten tefachim of a sukkah refers to the airspace of the sukkah and not the total height including the schach. The fact that the ten tefachim of the sukkah refers to the airspace of the sukkah is learned from the sikuch of the wings of the kruvim over the, what? Kapores. If you hold like who? As long as you hold like Rabbi Meir. As long as you hold that all the amos are six tefachim amos. So again, the fact that the ten tefachim of a sukkah is the airspace of a sukkah has to be ten tefachim is derived from the kruvim, the wings of the kruvim, if you hold like Rabbi Meir. If you don't hold like Rabbi Meir, how do we know ten tefachim? This is the easiest question you could possibly get. If you don't hold like Rabbi Meir, halacha l'moshe misinai. And I have as main point number four, shiurin chatzitzin u'mechitzin halacha l'moshe misinai. It's a concept, it's a main point. Shiurin chatzitzin u'mechitzin are all halacha l'moshe misinai. Multiple choice question. Which of the following are not halacha l'moshe misinai? Shiurin, chatzitzin, mechitzin, or something else? The answer is going to be something else. Right, shiurim, chatzitzin, machitzin are halacha l'moshe misinai. Next week's daf is going to be about, really, are all those things halacha l'moshe misinai? Aren't they d'oraisa? So you see, like, we're going, ooh, you know, this was all supposed to start about how a sukkah was 10 tefachim tall, and it led us down this whole magical tour of the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan. That's the beauty of Talmud Bavli. Okay, we will pick up next week. Next Wednesday, we have a 9-day